This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. State lawmakers passed a bill that repeals HB 2. The measure moved through both chambers today before being signed by Governor Roy Cooper. Republicans have been scrambling to escape from that troublesome legislation that they passed with little or no deliberation just over a year ago. They worked out a deal with Democrats that helped them get out from under the law that has already cost the state billions of dollars. The deal was approved just as the NCAA threatened to withdraw all championships from North Carolina until 2022 if HB 2 was still on the books. The HB 2 replacement package has drawn bipartisan support and bipartisan contempt. LGBT advocacy groups and many Democrats oppose it, saying the new bill remains discriminatory. Far-right Republicans are also critical of the repeal. They didn't see anything wrong with HB 2. Joining me now is Jeff DeBerry, WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Something called HB 2 is now off the books. It has been replaced by something called HB 142. Tell us about the replacement package.
So the replacement package has three parts to it. What moved through today is what we call gut and amend. There was already a piece of legislation that was in one chamber, and what state senators initially did was they added to it, and they did three things. First, it repeals House Bill 2. That, of course, is the controversial bathroom measure that required people to use the bathroom corresponding to the sex listed on their birth certificate. Of course, as we've talked about on the program, there are other provisions within House Bill 2, but that's the most notorious one. So it repeals House Bill 2. Second, it gives the state authority over public bathrooms, and this is something that the state had not clearly delineated previously. So this is now spelled out directly in state law, control or any policy that would or could follow over public bathrooms is in the hands of the state. Third, this compromise will ban all municipalities, cities and counties across North Carolina from passing any non-discrimination ordinances on private entities until 2020. Those second and third provisions were the ones that upset a lot of advocates, allies of the LGBT community today. In the first part, the repeal of House Bill 2, of course, upset some staunch conservatives, some of the religious right.
The leadership, however, the leadership of both the House and the Senate, the Republican leadership, has been trying to get out from under the stink of this bill for more than a year now. It was passed in less than a day, and it has caused them nothing but trouble, and they have been trying to find an honorable way out of a bill that they know they never should have passed. Tim Moore today is the Speaker of the House. Here's him at a press conference earlier today after passage in the House.
Most of the members, I think, are now ready to move past this issue, and we've been doing a lot of good legislation, but you guys with the cameras and the pens keep wanting to talk about this same bill. I'm sorry you won't be able to talk about it anymore now that it's been resolved.
Oh, yeah. He's happy that's been resolved. That thing has been a pain for the Republicans, and, of course, they caused their own difficulty. And it's been a struggle for them, Moore and Berger, to get out from under the agony of this bill, hasn't it? Talk about the negotiations and the trouble they had getting out from under the wreckage.
So as you mentioned, it moved through quickly, House Bill 2, a year ago, and there's been all sorts of economic fallout. We're talking about job expansion plans that never came, PayPal, Deutsche Bank, and events that were canceled, talking about Bruce Springsteen concert, and of course basketball. The NBA All-Star Game, $100 million event, was relocated to New Orleans. So those were, I think, some of the things that, you know, of course, added pressure and helped to build that pressure from the folks that were trying to do something to change House Bill 2. And for Berger and Moore, it's been pretty challenging. I mean, there were conversations about a compromise going as far back as June of 2016 when Governor Pat McCrory was leading those. And there's just so much diversity within the Republican House caucus, and there are so many districts in this state. Of course, we've heard from federal judges who have deemed some of the state legislative seats illegal, racial gerrymanders, which is not to get into that whole issue, but to say that there are a lot of seats that are drawn in such a way where there are representatives, there are senators who have such constituencies they didn't want to vote for a repeal because they'd have to answer at home. They might face a primary challenge. So all of these factors, this amalgamation of things, has caused Speaker and Senate Pro Tem Moore and Berger to have to thread this very thin needle, and that's been very challenging. And today they did. Today, with the conjunction of Democratic lawmakers and the Democratic governor, they were able to thread this needle through. Not pleasing to everyone, by any means, but it is a compromise. And the state, according to Moore and Berger and Cooper and others who support this, say this is a step forward.
And they had to work with the governor on this one because it wasn't clear, because they had a Democratic governor, even though they have a veto-proof majority, it wasn't clear that those bills, the replacement bill, was going to pass by a veto-proof margin. In fact, it didn't in the House. So without the governor on board, this repeal effort would have been scuttled once again.
That's absolutely correct. It passed 32-16 in the Senate. That, if everybody holds true to their vote there, it would be overridden if the governor were to have vetoed this. But in the House, and it was actually a little more, it was a wider margin than we expected. It was 70-48. But to your point, that is not a veto-proof majority. And, you know, one certainly can wonder about if former Governor McCrory was still the governor, if he had won re-election, what kind of compromise would have eventually pushed through, if any compromise would have pushed through. And you would think having a Democrat at the table, a Democrat in one of these key seats. Now, we talk about how the governor here is relatively powerless compared to executives in other states, but he's at the table and he's a stakeholder and he represents one side or part of one side of this issue. And that probably did help in terms of negotiations and in getting, you know, we heard about RFRA, for example. We heard about religious freedoms and that possibly being part of a compromise deal. That didn't happen today. There was also no language about a possible voter referendum pertaining to LGBT rights. That also didn't happen today. And that's something that advocates were firmly against and said that also would be another dark cloud, another black eye.
With a Republican governor, those likely would have passed. They would have passed some kind of repeal. They had to get out from under this mess, but it might have had those provisions in. So it's interesting to speculate on what having a Democratic governor meant to those negotiations. Roy Cooper, today, after he signed the bill, had this to say.
Under House Bill 2, we had zero LGBT protections. Zero. Today's law provides for LGBT protections. Today's law not only provides for LGBT protections now, but opens the door for more in the future.
All right, that's Governor Roy Cooper at a news conference earlier today. What are those protections that are there now that weren't there under HB 2?
So there were, don't quote me on this number, I think it's about 17 non-discrimination ordinances or local protections that had been passed in Charlotte and Greensboro and Asheville. Some were for veterans. Some, I believe, were for the lesbian and gay community. Maybe it was the full LGBT community. I'm not sure. I'm not looking at those. But those local ordinances, those local protections, were all preempted by House Bill 2 a year ago. They went away. They effectively were off the books for the past year and a week. So those will go back into effect. And moving forward, if the city of Wilmington or Durham or Concord or wherever wants to enact something, they can do that. And it would pertain, as I understand it, to their employees.
That's
can't
right.
Enact
LGBT,
anything that would,
so they can
right.
now enact LGBT protections for government employees at the local level should they want to do that under HB 2. They couldn't. The other thing that got wiped out entirely from HB 2 was that provision that prohibited localities from regulating or raising the minimum wage for their contractors or insisting on a minimum wage. That was snuck in on HB 2. Had nothing to do with bathrooms or the LGBT community. That's gone forever. So those things are in place. But as we said, there are opponents on the left, the LGBT community, not happy with this so-called compromise. Equality NC Executive Director Chris Scrow said this at a news conference earlier today.
If Governor Cooper and legislators agree to this, they will be prohibiting protections in key areas for LGBT people for 4 years. That's not a solution. It is exactly how we got here in the first place. Meanwhile, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and especially transgender North Carolinians are left in the dust once again by lawmakers who don't take into consideration the consequences on our community.
Equality NC Executive Director Chris Gross, so talk about that 4-year moratorium and what that involves.
That simply involves that these NDOs, these non-discrimination ordinances, cannot be passed for an entire city for private businesses, whether those are hospitality, hotels, or the cake maker is always often an example that comes up in some of these conversations. Those cannot be passed until at least 2020. And that's how it stands for now. Of course, that could change. I mean, that could be rolled back closer to where we are present day, 2019 or 2018, or in theory, lawmakers can revisit this at a later time and extend it. They could say that these NDOs can't come into play until 2022 or 2030. And we're speculating a little bit, but that's a firm date as of now. That's a long time from now.
No non-discrimination ordinances at the local level for private businesses, but they will be allowed for government agencies and government facilities. That's new, and that was not part of HB2. So those are the changes. What about the possibility that they just go ahead and do it again? Okay, we've made this deal, but tomorrow we can pass other restrictions, that we being the North Carolina legislature, that would once again restrict access to bathrooms or require a birth certificate or something like that.
I am not an elected official. I am not in these closed-door meetings, and I am not privy to all of the conversations. I would think that they have learned some lessons over the last year. Now, whether those are lessons about process, those are lessons about unintended consequences, those are lessons about not wanting to deal with constant media attention and these progressive groups that we heard about and ticking off the ACC or the NCAA or job expansion efforts, I would think that lawmakers are going to be a little bit more cautious as they potentially do anything with this in the future. But you would think this is time to walk away for everybody and kind of let this alone for a little while.
Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure, Frank. Bye.
Just ahead, a new book that documents a changing Russia. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.